This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So happy to be with you on this wonderful day that the Lord has made. I do hope that you are rejoicing in it and being glad in it, because every spiritual blessing in the heavens that you need for this day is there for you. Yes, God has made this day for you and you for this day. So let us discover together what it is that God has in mind for us as we journey together for this next hour right here on Women of Grace Live. I always like to encourage you at the top of the program to give us a call here. We are all set, ready, go for you. Yes, we are. 833-288-EWTN is the toll-free number that you use. That's 833-288-3986. I invite you to pick up the phone and punch in those numbers. When you do, it's going to be answered, and it's going to be answered by Matthew Gubensky. He is our call screener. He is going to get you up on the board, and you and I will be able to chit chat together. And oh my goodness, I love to chit chat with all of you. We like to have holy conversation right here on Women of Grace Live. That's what we're up to doing every day at this time. And we invite you to participate with us. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, inviting you simply to get on out there, use the chat feature at either one of those sites, put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we'll get it retrieved. Pedro Aquiles is doing the retrieving. He's going to get it up on the board, and I'll be able to address whatever your question or comment is about. And we always welcome you to call for prayer. Love to pray with all of you. Love to be a part of this, work of grace that God is always, always unfolding for us. We simply have to make opportunity, right? We simply have to take advantage of what it is that he's bringing to us. And some of that just involves that right mindset, being attentive to the fact that grace is abounding from heaven for us, and that the grace of the present moment is right there for us. We simply need to walk into it. And of course, we've got to surrender to it, which means that we invest our will in it and let it have its will with us. That's kind of where the problem gets in a little bit, I think, because very frequently we like to be in control, right? We like to tell God what we would like for God to do. And then, we get very frustrated when he doesn't do it. Well, I think things are out of order there, right? God is God. We are not. God knows what is best because he's omniscient. We don't know what's best because we're not omniscient. And sometimes we really just don't want to receive that grace that's available. But it's always there. It's always there. We just simply have to take it. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you today. Again, that toll-free number for you here in North America, 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us here. Getting very, very excited, very, very eager, actually, because February 3rd through the 9th, I am going to be at Our Lady of Florida Spiritual Center in North Palm Beach, Florida, for our Benedicta Institute for Women week-long winter immersive. And I'm very enthused about it. I'm enthused, period, about the Benedicta Institute for Women. If you don't know much about it, I do invite you to get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com, and read about it. We have outreaches for women. That's what we do through Women of Grace. Of course, we have television and radio. You're listening to our radio, Women of Grace Live outreach. But in addition to that, I host a program on EWTN television Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern time, re-airs later, I think, in the early evening around 10:30. I'm always confused on that time. Clearly, it's because I'm not awake at that time most typically. So I don't watch it at that hour. Actually, don't watch it at all because I know what's in the program. I was there. I interviewed the guest, right? So I have firsthand knowledge of what's coming up. So those are two of our major outreaches. And obviously, people know of us because of these electronic forms in which we participate in communicating the good news about God's revelation to us and who it is that we are as women. In addition to that, though, we have a whole educational branch of Women of Grace, which is really a 501c3. It's a not-for-profit corporation. And this outreach really involves helping women to know who they truly are. It's helping women to understand the great gift of their authentic femininity, to affirm them as daughters of the Most High God, and to take them through a process of discovery of the great charisms, graces that are theirs by way of their feminine nature. And we've been doing this for numbers and numbers of years, 21 years, and this year it's going to be 22 years. We have been presenting to women these truths about themselves. And we do it through conferences. We do it through retreats. We do it through our Women of Grace Foundational Study, which I talk with you about. We've got other studies in addition to that. Some of them are archived there for you, and they're on demand available for you out there at our website. We have our Moments with Mary study series, Who is Mary? The first installment out there coming very soon in the next couple of months is the second one of those, Mary Through the Eyes of the Mystic Saints. I'm hoping to do even more of those in upcoming months. We'll see how the Lord apportions my time, but I'm looking forward to that. So we have that. And then we have the Benedicta Institute for Women, which is named for St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. And St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, her given name was Edith Stein. She was a brilliant, brilliant woman, a philosopher, lived, in the early 1900s, was martyred at Auschwitz in 1942, became a Carmelite religious. She was a Jewish woman by birth, fell into atheism, and then ultimately discovered Teresa of Avila, which led to her vocation to be a Carmelite religious. And she wrote numbers of essays, and her writings are available for you out there on the internet, as well as via our website, womenofgrace.com. And in these essays to women, it's a collection of essays that she wrote. They were really presentations that she made. And she uncovers this philosophy for the education of women. Her whole modus operandi was to help women understand who they were. You know, this is what she was working towards. She did this through a branch of philosophy known as phenomenology, which also is the same branch of philosophy St. John Paul II studied. He, too, was a phenomenologist. He knows of Edith Stein. He knew of Edith Stein. He references her. You can hear her echoing through his Mulieris Dignitatem. You can hear her echoing even through, I think, Redemptoris Mater. He makes reference to her. I believe it's in his encyclical Familiaris Consortio. So he was aware of her writings. They were contemporaries. They lived at the same time. Of course, he lived, he was younger than she, and he lived longer than she, he not being martyred at Auschwitz. But all of that being said, the Benedicta Institute for Women is named for her because we want to pick up, you know, the pieces of her philosophical system, and we want to present that to women. And by that, I mean, we want to present to women the work that she did on women. And so she kind of is the centerpiece around which we hover. But at the Benedicta Institute for Women, we have a beautiful program where women can become certified in Catholic women's leadership. And our Immersive is offering a course that will take you there. You can come and join us. Get out to our website, womenofgrace.com, and check it out. I'd love to see you there. Personal invitation from me to you. Coming right back, 833-288-EWTN. That's the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live. We love it. We love you.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jonet Williams. So happy to be with you today. I certainly am. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Yes, I am. You just heard those numbers. I'm going to give them to you again. This is the toll-free number for you who are in North America. 833-288-3986. EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside of North America, we've got a number for you as well. And that number begins with the country code, which is 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Of course, available for you, North America or not North America, would be our social media option too. And that is simply will be available to you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there, put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We will be quick to retrieve it and get it up on the board. You'll talk to Matthew Gubensky if you call in, but in social media, it's Pedro Quiles who's going to take your question or comment. He's going to put it up on the board for me, and I'll be able to address it. Wide open for you today. Let's just talk together. Let's just chit-chat about whatever you want to chit-chat about. I'm sure I'll have a few comments here and there, but you know, this is your program, and I always love to hear from you. So that's 833-288-EWTN. Do want to send out some congratulations. I sure do. Congratulations going out to two great radio partners. Aperio Radio, serving Sheridan, Wyoming, is celebrating 10 years with EWTN. Just a great big congratulations to all of you in Sheridan, Wyoming at Aperio Radio. We're so delighted that you carry our program. We're so delighted that you carry EWTN and that we are working together to bring the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ through the airwaves. Also, congratulations going out to Totus Tuus Catholic Radio, serving Gainesville, Georgia, marking 9 years with us. Oh my goodness, just 1 year behind Aperio. But I'll tell you what, Gainesville is named Gainesville because you keep gaining those years, and you keep gaining souls for our Lord Jesus Christ as well. So we're delighted that you are with us and delighted that you are partnering with EWTN and bringing the good news to all of the people there in Gainesville, Georgia, and all of your listening area. Congratulations to Greg Marshall in Wyoming and Mark Peffer and Carol Bush in Georgia from your friends here at EWTN. Oh my heavens. You know, I'll tell you what, it's just an amazing thing to me to see how God uses these airwaves. Yeah, I never know what call is going to come in. I never know who we're going to hear from. But this is what I do know. The Lord knows. And he pulls us all together into this mystical body by way of these airwaves. And, you know, I think about you all the time. I tell you that. I pray for you every day. And I ask the Lord to bless you. And oftentimes, you know, I'll just be going about my business the day, and the Holy Spirit or my guardian angel, one or the other, will just drop one of you into my mind, and I'll just wing off prayers for you. So I hope that when the Lord brings me to your mind, you wing a prayer my way too, because I can tell you this girl really needs it. She really, really does. We work together for each other's salvation as this mystical body of Christ, right? We work together in this great vineyard of the Lord, harvesting souls for Christ. I mean, every once in a while, I think about that. And I think, you know, Janet, you've lived a privileged life in the fact that you've been able to participate for so many years in this great, great vineyard of radio and communications, getting the word, the message out there. You know, it's an amazing thing. But wherever venue God places us in, wherever we are, whatever, you know, our professional capacity is, you know, even the chance occurrences, you know, we never really know who it is that we're going to be speaking with. But I do know this, God has divine appointments lined up for us every day, divine appointments lined up for us every single day. And every single person that crosses our path is a divine appointment by God. You know, there's no coincidence in God. None whatsoever. It just doesn't exist, you know, because everything is preordained by the Lord, right? Everything is designed for the salvation of souls, for the salvation of your soul and the salvation of the souls of others. And he wants to involve you in this great work of redemption. He does. That's what the mystical body of Christ is all about. I was thinking about that this morning when I was praying my rosary. You know, every once in a while, you know, the Lord will give you a little, you know, new perspective on something. And so I'll share this with you. See how this lands on your heart and soul today. You know, and let me know about it. And the phone lines are lighting up. And I love you so much for calling. And I'm going to get to you right away. But I do want to share this. You know, today is Tuesday. And so on Tuesdays, we pray the sorrowful mystery. mysteries. And, you know, people will say, well, which of the mysteries of the rosary do you like the best? And I often go right to the sorrowful because they've been so meaningful to me in my life. And they've gotten me through some of the most difficult of circumstances. And, you know, just the reality of our Blessed Mother, you know, and the travail that she went through in watching her son be crucified, be mocked, be ridiculed, being tortured, you know, really speaks to my maternal heart. And anyway, there's all of that. But today I was praying those mysteries. And, you know, the thought that came to me, you know, when we are in a state of grace, the very life of Christ is alive in us, you know. And I think that we acknowledge that sometimes, on a mental ascent. We give assent to that. We certainly do, don't we? Every time we pray the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God and will come in glory to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. That is the Apostles' Creed. And we give assent to all of those things. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. So it's one thing to say, yeah, I believe, and to give mental assent to it. But it's another thing to really comprehend that which we say we believe. So as I was praying the rosary this morning, I was thinking about the fact that, you know, I want to pray from this place in my interior being where the life of God is. You know, when we're in a state of grace, you know, the God life is in us, you know, and that's not an, oh, by the way, that's a reality. And I want to go to that place inside of myself, you know, and basically what I'm talking about is I want to go to the interiority of my being, right? I want to go there because that's where Jesus is. That's where he is. And so this morning I was thinking, not only do I want to go there, but I want to pray from that reality. I want to pray from that reality that, you know, that I'm praying. But even as I'm praying, it's Jesus in a certain way praying with me and praying through me to the Father. So, you know, I wanted to go there. And I was thinking, well, okay, so, it's the sorrowful mysteries. And then the thought occurred to me, it's the whole Christ who is in me. It's the whole Christ who is in me. It's the whole Christ in the totality of who he is. In his passion, in his death, in his resurrection. In his taking on flesh. In his living out the mysteries of his life. All of that, the fullness of Christ, all of that is in me. And so I was really asking the Holy Spirit to help me to acknowledge that truth and the mystery of the truth, which I can't really comprehend, but can apprehend with a soul. We do that, you know, and to pray from that so that as I'm praying these sorrowful mysteries, you know, I'm really experiencing within my own being the crucified Christ, the tortured Christ, the abused Christ, the mocked Christ, you know, and I thought, my goodness sakes, you know, these mysteries live in us. Do you know that? The mysteries live in you. They are alive in you. These mysteries were always in the mind of God. They came to us in time, but they're not limited to the time in which they came. They're perpetual, and we step into those mysteries through prayer. We step into the mystery of the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ at the holy sacrifice of every Mass. It is a representation of that reality. And so even as we're praying those mysteries of the rosary, those mysteries are present in us by grace. By the life of Christ alive within us. I don't know what that says to you, but I'll tell you what, in my time of prayer this morning, it said a lot to me. So I share it with you. I think that God always wants to take us to, you know, an increasing awareness of the mystery of his divine life and his mystery, the mystery of his divine life alive within us. And he wants to take us to a fuller understanding a surrendering to that we might be imbued by. Yeah, I like that. A surrendering to that we might be imbued by. Anyway, just some thoughts for you today. We're going to go to Susan. Susan was the first to call. We've got Rachel and Peggy with us too. We've got three lines open. And I know that one of your names is meant to be on one of those lines. So your name belongs on one of those lines. So do call in 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Susan there in Long Island, New York. Veritas Catholic Radio is the way that she is with us. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Jeanette. How are you? And your speech just now, all I thought about is my family, because I think we're living through the sorrowful mysteries now.
Ah, sweetie.
Yeah. I just wanted to tell you, I think it's a poor soul, you're so busy. Your show, I'm on the East Coast, Eastern Standard Time. Your TV show airs at 1 p.m. in the afternoon and at 11 p.m. at night on the East Coast.
Very good. Thank you for reminding me when that second show airs.
You were off by a half hour. Listen, I check you. I have, like, the news on at whatever at 11. I said, let me see who Jeanette has. I check at 11 o'clock every night.
Oh, please be to God.
I just wanted to tell you, on the East Coast, it's on at 1 p.m. in the afternoon and at 11, three air.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for that,
I wasn't going to call you. I was going to tell your screener, but I figured I have two parents, one in a nursing home and one living with my sister now. They're both in their 90s. They're both compromised mentally, physically.
Aww,
you know, they have a 70th wedding anniversary tomorrow.
Wow. How beautiful.
I don't know that either of them are aware that they have it tomorrow. I'm not sure. I know my mom is not, because she's got dementia, and my dad has a little bit of dementia. But the family's aware of it, and they have a 70th wedding anniversary tomorrow. They were married in 1955.
Wow.
And my sister had prayers, masses set up at Sacred Heart in Yonkers, where they were married, Yonkers, New York. You know, so there were masses said, and there's going to be other masses said. But I was wondering if you could say a prayer for them.
Sure.
Good family. My mother went to mass daily years ago when she was well.
Sure.
She was a daily, you know, communicant. Is that the right word?
Yes, that's right.
You're the word lady. You're the word lady, Jeanette. Communicant? Okay.
Communicants.
So I was wondering if you could say a prayer for them.
Sure.
And I thought of you yesterday. I had called in a couple of times to you through the past 2 years. Not
yes.
too many. Yesterday was Brother St. Andre Bessette.
Yes.
And I remember you telling me a story that it was linked to your mother and maybe your first husband that passed away.
Susan, you've got a great memory. Yes, that's absolutely true.
Prayers up at, I think you were stuck up there in a storm or a flood.
Yes, we were saying
up in Montreal, St. Joseph's Oratory up in
that's right.
Up in Montreal.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, my youngest daughter teases and she says, you know, don't tell mom anything because eventually it'll make its way to radio. But, you know, the beautiful thing is that, you know, we have these beautiful family memories and we're going to pray for your parents. I want to comment on a couple of things that you said there. First of all, I want to give congratulations to your parents for 70 years of marriage tomorrow. What a remarkable.
I don't know that they're aware of it, Jeanette, but the family is anyway.
Well, that's right. And you know, what a testimony, right? 70 years, that's 7 decades together. And, you know, what a beautiful journey of life they've had together. And, you know, in sickness and in health, right? Until death, they do part. And here they are, all of these years later, whether your mom's aware of it or not, doesn't really matter. The fact is that in some way, she's living into that moment. So that's a beautiful thing. The other thing is, I love, you know, I have to say this, you know, the fact that you are relating this moment in your life to the sorrowful mysteries, I think is really beautiful. You know, we were talking there for a moment that, you know, the Every moment of Jesus' life in some way is present to us through his presence within us. And we, as baptized Catholics, baptized Christians, we're all baptized. Every baptized Christian, whether they realize it or not, is baptized into the Paschal mystery, the passion, the death, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we will experience all of it. And I'm thinking of St. John Paul II. In his beautiful apostolic letter on the rosary, he talks about the fact that, and I love this. As a matter of fact, I was praying for this today when I began my rosary. St. John Paul II says, he said that the rosary has set the rhythm of his life. And, you know, and I just think that that's absolutely beautiful, because what is the rosary? Well, it's the mysteries of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? It's the gospel on a string, as one of the saints called it. And so when you say, you know, I think that we're living the sorrowful mysteries, I think that that's beautiful that you can see that connection, Susan, because the fact of the matter is the travail, the cross, the sorrow that you see, that you have for your parents as you see them deteriorating through the, you know, the vicissitudes of age, right? The fact that we're involved in this process, but looking at through the eyes of faith, looking at it through the mysteries of the rosary, not only gives it meaning and value, but really does, I think, point to what it is that God is doing for you and in you and through you in that moment, because all of those graces that are there, that were won for us by way of Christ's passion, death, suffering, his crucifixion, they are there for us to be able to call upon and receive in the moment that we're living that mystery in our own life. Stay with me, Susan, because I want to pray for your parents when we come back from the break there. And then Rachel coming to you, Peggy to you. We want to hear from you too. 833-288-EWTN. It's Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Looking forward to speaking and talking and chatting with you today. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Happy to be spending this time with you today. Happy to spend this time with you Monday through Friday at this same time, talking about issues of importance to your life and your faith, having holy conversation together. That's what we do here on Women of Grace Live. So I do invite you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Encouraging you to pick up the phone and dial us in. You're going to get Matt Kubensky when you do that. If you decide to go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, you can leave a question or comment there, and Pedro Quiles will collect it and put it up on the board for you. We had Susan with us from Long Island, New York, and she was sharing with us about her parents. 70 years of marriage they will mark tomorrow. Can you imagine such a thing? What a beautiful thing. Now, they are not in the best of health. Mom has dementia and is in a nursing facility of some nature, and Dad is at home with one of her sisters. But she's asking for prayers for her parents. And, you know, a wonderful thing to achieve that number of years together as husband and wife in a culture today that finds everything to be disposable, including marriage, to have the witness of that kind of longevity in a union of a husband and a wife is just an absolutely incredible, gracious testimony to the sacrament of matrimony, which doesn't mean that we don't have to call upon those graces. You know, it's a sacrament so that we can receive the grace that we need for that state in life. Every state in life has special graces attached to it. It's called the grace of state, actually. So there's a grace attentive to the sacrament of matrimony, one attentive to holy orders, one attentive to religious life, one attentive to parenting, to being a parent. That's a state in life, you know. Professional kinds of states of grace as well, for doctors and nurses, for teachers, for attorneys, for, you know, people in the service industry, people who are in the armed forces. So, you know, we should call upon that grace of state. I think it's a very important thing. So Susan is back with us. We're trying to get her back up on the air so that she can participate in this prayer by being on the air with me. And I think we're getting her there. Are you there, Susan?
We got disconnected in the break, Jeanette. I wasn't going to call you back, but I decided to call you back.
Well, I'm glad that you did, because I wanted you to be with me as we pray. All right, so we're going to come together now. We're praying for Susan's parents.
Okay, wait, one thing, Jeanette. My mom is with my sister, and my dad is in a nursing home.
Okay, so I got that reversed.
Okay, and their names are Mary and John.
Mary and John. I love it. Okay. All right. Well, we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Father God, we come before you in this moment and we lift up to you your son and your daughter, whom you united in matrimony 70 years ago tomorrow. Father God, what a great testimony their marriage is to all who know them. What a great testimony it is to our day and our time, to our culture and our society. Father God, I know that you created Mary and John in your image and likeness. You brought them together in this sacrament in your name. I would ask, Father God, that the graces of that sacrament would still be bestowed on them afresh in this moment. Father, we know that they're not together, living together at this moment because of the vicissitudes of old age. But we know that what you have united cannot be separated in time. We know that in some way they are still in union with each other. I ask, Father God, that in your mercy and in your kindness, you would meet their need as husband and wife, their greatest need in that union. But I also ask, Father God, that you would meet each individual need that they have. We know that they're suffering each in their own way. We know that each one of them, Lord, is not in good health and that in some ways their mental capacities are waning to greater or lesser extent. But that in no way is indicative of your life in them. As a matter of fact, Father God, sometimes when these capacities are arrested, you are more present to the soul than at any other time. And so we ask, Father God, that in the capacity that they have, however, you know, it is that you operate within a soul in these moments, I'm asking that they would apprehend you, that on some level they would experience a new outpouring of your love and your benevolent care for them. I ask, Father God, that these travails that they're experiencing would be mitigated, would be lessened, that they'd have a sweet reprieve for a period of time. But I ultimately ask, Lord God, that when they stand before you, face to face, either united as a couple or individually, depending upon how it is that you determine that they should come to you, that they would experience that fullness of life that comes by way of your son. I pray for all of their family members who have been so affected by their life, who through that union came into being because of what you joined together. I ask that you would bless them on their parents' anniversary date tomorrow, that they would rejoice and be merry in you for the gift that their parents have been to them. Father God, I ask that in all ways, this couple, for whatever period of time is remaining to them in this life, that in eternity, they would know a love for each other and for you that is beyond our capacity to know in this life or to understand in this life. And so it is that through the beautiful intercession of our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, and through the beautiful intercession of the Holy Family as a unit, we offer this prayer to you. In the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen.
Jeanette, absolutely, I'm trying not to cry. That was absolutely breathtaking. Beautiful.
thank the Holy Spirit for that.
And you know, I'm looking out the window. We had snow here yesterday in New York. I was out shoveling. I envisioned a rainbow with you praying like a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you were part of that rainbow by saying that prayer for them.
Oh,
thank you so much. It was absolutely beautiful. And I need to be grateful, too. I don't want to be all sorrowful mysteries and complain. We've had many. I think everybody's had 9 lives here with all everybody's been through with my parents. We've had many, many blessings, and I'm very grateful. And I'm very grateful today for that beautiful prayer.
Oh, you're so welcome, Susan.
Absolutely beautiful.
You know, as I always say, every joy has a cross, and every cross has a joy. When we can find the joy in the cross.
When you were talking about the sorrowful mysteries, Jeanette, I know you've been through it big time, too. I know.
Yes.
Where, you know, I don't know all your crosses, but I know some of your big ones. So.
Aw.
And your audience knows them, too.
Well, God bless you, sweet lady, and God bless your parents. And if you see them tomorrow, you wish them a happy anniversary from me. They don't know me from a load of coal, but it doesn't really matter.
But I know you're on at 11. Your repeats are on at 11 p.m. on TV on the East Coast.
Thank you.
For your audience.
Thank you. I will try to retain that. Thanks, Susan.
Thank you
God
so
bless.
Much, Jeanette. That was beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome, my dear. God bless. Bye-bye now. Oh, how lovely is that? Okay, we're going to go to Rachel. Rachel is a first-time caller, and I haven't even mentioned. This is for you, Rachel. When you're a first-time caller and you call in, I ring my bell to welcome you for your debut. She is also in New York today. Hey, Rachel, how are you? Listening to us via Station of the Cross, by the way. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. So I'm calling because I got married 1 month ago, and yesterday I found out I was pregnant.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and like I thought it wasn't real, so I took another test today, but then the line just got even darker. So,
oh my goodness, really, Rachel. Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you. I am calling because I want to ask for parenting advice to raise like good Catholic children, because we're starting our family, my husband and I, sooner than we thought we would. We're only 23 and 24, so it's just like we thought we'd wait like a year, but then I don't know how. We just thought it would not happen so soon.
Yes. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, the old adage, man proposes and God disposes. So God was absolutely eager to bring this little life into the world. And he looked at you and your husband and said, oh, this one's for them.
Oh, I never even thought about that. Yeah, well, I guess today, tomorrow, I'll be 4 weeks along, which is like, it's so early. So I just have a few questions, I guess. Do you know of any, like, what are some good ways to instill the faith into a child? Like, how do you start and, you know, do it right from the beginning?
Oh, Rachel. Well, here you are. You are at the beginning of this life. This life exists, and this life exists in you. So the very first thing you can do is to begin to pray. Pray for your baby, right? Pray for this child whom you're carrying. Talk to the baby. Talk to the baby. Even now, you can be telling the baby, beautiful things, you know. Tell the baby about our Lord. Tell the baby about our Blessed Mother. Tell the baby how much the baby is loved, and how this baby, how you, baby, are created in the image and likeness of God. And mommy is so happy that God has given you to me. And I'll tell you what that does. You know, I don't think that babies can hear this early on, but they eventually do hear, and you're acclimating them to your voice. And, you know, when you're speaking loving thoughts to your baby like that, when you're speaking truth to your baby like that, you know, that little baby soul, which exists at this moment, existed as soon as the sperm met the egg in your womb, that's communicated to the soul. The soul apprehends that. And so already you're cultivating a seed of faith in your baby. You know, you're tending that seed, right? And of course, that seed is going to come to fruition at that glorious moment when your child is baptized, right? So incorporated into the mystical body of Christ, grafted into the family of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, saved by the blood of the Lamb. But already you're preparing that little soul. soul. And when your little one is born, you know, you continue to share with the baby things of that nature. And as your child grows and develops, you know, and begins to be able to comprehend more and more, you'll be able to read little stories to your child. There are beautiful, beautiful storybooks and beautiful, beautiful, you know, literature for children, Catholic in nature, some really great, great writers out there. And you'll want to have those on hand. Recently, one of my friend's daughters had a little baby. And for one of the shower gifts, my friend asked that everybody buy the baby that was going to be coming, you know, a Catholic book, a picture book. And so, you know, now this little baby actually has a library of books. And I'm sure that already Courtney is reading these books to the baby, even though the baby is just months old at this point in time. But you're inculcating the truths of the faith. You're speaking truth, and truth has a name, and the name is Jesus Christ. So when you're speaking truth, you're speaking Jesus to your child, and Jesus is a person. And so you're speaking relationship with the Lord to your child, right? And of course, you know, as the child progresses and grows, you will invest in your home, and I hope you have already, you know, an environment that speaks to your child of Jesus, speaks to your child of the Holy Family, speaks to your child of God's love for him or for her. You'll do that by way of the holy reminders, as Mother Angelica called them, that you'll have hanging in your home, beautiful religious art, you know, the crucifix, you know, pray the rosary, you and your husband pray the rosary together. If you haven't begun to do that as a husband and wife, I want to encourage you to do that. Have your time of prayer together as husband and wife, because now you're building the very best gift that you can give to your child, and that is your marriage. The very best gift that a parent can give to a child is the marriage of mom and dad. And you're strengthening that marital bond through your life of prayer. So start that now, but then continue it and make baby a part of that. You know, when baby is you know, even if baby's asleep, and you and your husband pray the rosary in the, you know, in the presence of that child will grow up to the lullaby of the rosary. How beautiful that will be. That will be so beautiful. And then as the child grows older, you know, you take the little child around the house as soon as their little minds, you know, begin to operate, you know, you're 12 months old, 18 months old, you know, and by that I mean they're comprehending, not apprehending just through the soul now, but comprehending with the mind. And you walk them through the house. Now you've got this picture gallery of religious art in your home, and you walk them through. And you tell them, this is Jesus. See, these words say, Jesus, I trust in you. And look at Jesus' heart. Do you see Jesus' heart? It's glowing, and it's glowing in love for you. And you take them through like that. And you raise them in the faith that way, so that the faith becomes not just a Sunday event, but it becomes the very fiber of your life together as a family. And I'll tell you, Rachel, the rest will come. You know, and of course, there's beautiful Catholic books on parenting and parenting issues, you know, that will take you through all that you need to know. You know, Dr. Ray Guarendi has beautiful books written for parents. The Popchaks have beautiful books written for parents. And numbers of other Catholic writers have beautiful books written for parents. But true parenting and the passing on of the faith and raising a child under God begins with mom and dad, their love for each other, the strengthening of their marital bond, and the investing of all of that into the life of their child. That's what you can do.
That's beautiful. Besides the rosary, are there any prayers available to say for my baby before he or she is born?
Oh, sure. There's numbers of them. As a matter of fact, you can go out there, you know, and just Google them, you know, and you can put in Catholic prayers, Catholic. Here, I'm doing it as we're speaking here. Catholic. I can spell prayers for pregnant parents. And of course, there's prayers that you can pray also for, you know, for the safety of your pregnancy, right? You can do that too. And let's see, here we go. Okay. And yeah, so here's numbers of them. And I just put in Catholic prayers. I put pregnant parents and it offered me Catholic prayers for expecting parents. And I chose that. So there's prayers for expectant mothers, prayers for pregnant mothers, prayers for the gift of children, prayer to St. Gerard. He is the patron saint for pregnancy. You can pray a prayer for him. So they're abundantly available for you out there. And my guess is that if you went out, and you put in books of prayers for expecting parents, you would find books that you could also get prayer books. In a lot of the older prayer books, you will find, a selection of prayers at the back of the missal, for example. And there's always prayers in there for parents, for raising children, for women who are pregnant with children. So you'll be able to find them there.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Well, we want to hear back from you. You know, let us know if you, ever want prayer during the pregnancy. You know, you just give us a call here. And I know that this is an unexpected moment for you and your husband, but not unexpected for God. He's planned for this baby from all eternity. And here the baby is coming. And I'm sure that you're going to get lots of support from family or friends.
Thank you. I pray for that too.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, well, thank you for sharing this happy moment with us.
Yes, thank you for all the tips. I have my notebook.
God bless you, Rachel. God bless you. You know, I'm going to tell you something. It's nice to have children when you're young. Because when you have children when you're young, you know, you have that period of time to spend with them, you know, in your younger years. So I had my first child at 25 and became pregnant a year after my first year of my marriage. And, I never regretted it. And then we waited 3 years and had two very close after that and wish we would have had more. So you're about a beautiful, beautiful journey. And you'll have all the energy you need because you're young. You're welcome. Bye-bye, Rachel. Bye-bye. Wasn't that beautiful? Oh, my goodness sakes. You can only imagine. I'm thinking of my grandmother right now. My paternal grandmother became pregnant on her honeymoon, and it sounds like it was something very similar for Rachel. And what a beautiful thing. So all of that being said, if Rachel crosses your mind, keep her in your prayer, and keep all women in your prayer who discover that they are going to have a baby. Pray for them that they have the courage to bring that baby to fullness of term and to love on that baby from the moment they know that they're pregnant with that baby, to love on that baby. Babies can feel that. They certainly can. All of that's communicated on some level of being. That is absolutely for sure. So we've got Mary. We're trying to get Mary up on the air here very quickly. We're down to the last few moments of our program, and she is there, and we are going to go to her. She is in St. Louis, Missouri, listening to us via Sirius XM Station 130, and you have a resource for Rachel, Mary.
I sure do. God bless you. And I'm going to be praying for the parents and the baby. It's called A Mother's Manual, and it's a tiny little blue prayer book, and it is a powerful book. I still pray it for my young adult son.
Wonderful.
We had our first one at 40. So
I
just want to encourage her, and God will instill the faith. She just has to guide them.
Oh, that's beautiful, Mary. Give us the title again, please.
It's called A Mother's Manual, and it's just tiny. It's about 4 inches tall by maybe 3 inches wide, and I think I picked it up at Catholic Supply.
Oh, okay. And is there an author or a compiler?
You know, I don't know. It's actually okay in my house, and I'm thawing my car out of an igloo right now.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, Mary, thank you for that. And Rachel, yeah. I hope you're still listening, because that sounds like a wonderful resource, Mary.
Oh, it's beautiful. And God bless you, Rachel, and congratulations. I'm so excited for you. Thank you, Jeanette.
Thank you, Mary, for calling in. God bless you. And I just love it. I just love that you called in and you had something right at the ready there for Rachel. And I'll tell you what, when one mom who loves her child and wants the best for her children and is praying for her children recommends a book to somebody else, you can rest assured it's a good book. So thank you, Mary. Well, it's been wonderful being with all of you today. I thank you so very, very much for calling in. And I invite you to be back with us again tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday. And you know who's here on Wednesday? Sue Brinkman. And I have it on good authority, Sue's own authority, that she's got some really hot topics for us lined up. And we have an exciting announcement, too, with regard to Sue's coming on tomorrow. So I hope you're going to tune in for that. We love being with you Monday through Friday. I'm inviting you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Take advantage of all of the opportunities that are available for you there. And I hope to see you. I hope to see you at Our Lady of Florida Spiritual Center in North Palm Beach, February 3rd through the 9th for our Benedicta Immersive. God bless all of you now. Bye-bye.